Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
I'll tell you, I love our life group leaders.
Yes.
And Dennis and Donna, thank you for helping oversee all of it. And then this is such an important thing. So if you have not participated in life groups, you have never had that experience, I just want you to know it's part of the will of God that you become a participant in everything. It's so much fun. And many years ago, I was part of the beginnings, from the beginning, somewhat pretty much of the beginning of the charismatic renewal, that the glory of God came from shore to shore. It came here, and then it touched England, Australia, all over. I mean, Canada. The revival glory touched and renewed the church. But we are now in a new wave. I believe this is the surge of a new wave. We are seeing it. And part of the thing was it just revived the truth of the book of Acts, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, that they started coming together, meeting in homes and in the larger assembly. Yeah. The communion was alive for them. And then thousands of people were added to the church. Bonnie and I had the privilege in Kinshasa, in the Congo, and then in other places, but we would baptize across the river also into Brazzaville, in Kinshasa, then in Brazzaville. That thousands, we have names still recorded of more than 3,000 that we baptized in one day in the river Congo. And Bonnie was with me too. So we saw some of these things, and it was part of the fruit. So we have seen the Lord adding daily and weekly. So be aware and invite people. Be anointed and let them, invite them to your life groups. Invite them to church. Invite them Sunday morning. Invite them Friday nights, wherever you're comfortable. And let them be minister. People are desperately needing in this hour, in 2018, that in many ways, though social media is a tool, but it can also be a blockage to people realizing they need human touch. They need people to talk with that are human and not some digital messaging. Now, it serves when people cannot travel, but people are have had surgery and they're recovering and different things like that. It is a wonderful help. But when you can come, you are invited here. And so we have plenty of room to put out more chairs and start participating in this. We saw it. There were just some of the most amazing restoration of excitement. My ministry began as a young guy. I was just in my 20s, and I was being asked all across West Texas and New Mexico. I would travel, and on Monday night, I had a thing on Brownsville. On Tuesday night, I had a group in Leveland. And Wednesday night, I had it in Littlefield, and then in Lubbock. The people would come spontaneously and gather in homes to worship the Lord and hear the word. So I'm sensing that surge now. Anyway, hallelujah. All right. So part of our time was we took up with just having fun with the life group, and I'm so glad. But we'll take a brief moment to receive the word, what I feel what the Lord has. These last 2-3 weeks have been quite, there have been some significant things that have happened. We have had the Super Bowl. How many watched the Super Bowl? Yes. I was invited to someone's home, and David Amy's. Yeah. And so I went, we had fun watching the Super Bowl. And then We have the Winter Olympics. You know, I'm so glad that God did not call me
to be a figure skater.
To be a figure skater. In the first few minutes, I would break every bone I had. Amazing.
Or a pole vaulter, but that's Summer Olympics.
Yeah, I would spear myself.
Or someone else.
Yeah. So,
however, I will confess, there have been several confessions made this morning. Thank you to Ron and Kyle. And then, of course, Dave stepped up. But I was on the track team when I was in high school. And in a little bitty, town in the deserts of New Mexico. And somehow, our track team was good enough to end up going to the state championships. But you had to have certain entries in XYZ numbers of fields in order to qualify. And we didn't have any women or girls shot putters. So the coach, at the last moment, at the meet, said, "Bonnie, you can do this." I actually broke the standing record.
That's great. Now that's something. That's why I live in fear of being beaten up. No. That's awesome.
You started this.
I know. Anyway, all of them want in the Super Bowl. They wanted that Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
And in the Olympics, they wanted going for the gold. Yeah. So anyway, but talk about going for the gold. We have a third event, and I just wanted to say a little bit about it, that we are going to celebrate Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And so I wanted to focus on that. I wasn't brought up in that kind of context, and I learned. I remember we had a basketball in our college, a women's basketball. They were the champions in the United States. I mean, they were amazing. They were called the Flying Queens. It would have a different meaning in New York these days. But anyway. But these were some of the tallest girls I've ever seen. And immediately you saw the height, you bowed to them, you had respect. And they were very pretty, but they were tall. And I don't know, something triggered. I got, first time I was in the United States and Valentine's Day came, and I got several cards from members of the women's basketball champions. Anyway, it's another story. But I said, "What is this?" And I learned about, the nice little hearts and...
Did you keep those cards?
They have disappeared over the years. So, anyway, I learned that it's to do with love. So, we're going to share a scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth, his family, is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory," so it is not your riches, it is his, "from the abundance and riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So that's the prayer of the apostle, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted, say rooted,
rooted.
And grounded,
and grounded.
Say grounded.
Grounded,
amen, in love. In love. Tell your neighbor, in love.
In love.
Tell the other neighbor, in love.
In love.
Okay. You are rooted and grounded in the love of God. And in that context, that you are rooted and grounded. So if you're not rooted and grounded, then you will become like a tumbleweed, in a sense. You are supposed to be a person of roots, and you put them down so you can draw upon the wonderful provision of the love of God. That daily, just like a plant draws nourishment from the water and the elements, minerals down there in the ground, you are drawing daily from you are rooted in the love. So whatever your fruit comes, the fruit should also manifest what the root is. And it's love is what comes up. And that's why it's helpful to be part of the body, involved in different activities, and life group is one of them. May you be able to comprehend, that is, have a revelation and be a participant with all the saints, what is the width. Width. Say width.
Length.
Length.
Depth.
Depth.
And height.
Of this love. Basically, it's to be understood. That's what it's saying. Amen. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So it's beyond just kind of having a head knowledge. You are defined, your whole elemental system, your whole every element particle of you is defined by this love. So you will not. One of the things I found for sometimes the enemy is able to kidnap people because they are not rooted and grounded. So their reaction is always human, and it can become something. Fear manifests,
yeah.
Or anger,
yeah.
Or offense of the littlest things,
yeah.
When it is not meant to be that way. And I remember way back, I was telling a story about some experience years ago that I'm trying to be careful. I never share anything that's private for other people, right? But something that happened 30 years ago, and I was talking, and someone got offended and huffed out, and I said, what happened? I found indirectly. And they thought I was talking about that, and I was talking about an incident that happened 35 years ago or something, and I'd look for living examples. Anyway, but what comes up immediately? What is your reaction? And if we are not rooted and drawing from the supernatural love of God, your first reaction, yeah, is fleshly. Mm. And then it can become, by the way, the Bible says it can become demonic. Then we need deliverance and help. And just be humble enough to say, buddy, I found that in men, a lot of men especially, that because of hurts from the past when they were little boys, and their father was missing, or their mother abandoned the family, and this anger is the first reaction. And so there are men who are married, who have children, but they react with anger. And we need to repent if that's our, because that's just the truth, that this will happen. It's understandable. I totally sympathize, but I'm saying God wants us to put our roots down in his love. So fear is not the first manifestation, or these other things.
And beautiful thing about this scripture is that where I take tremendous encouragement is when it says that you may be filled with all the fullness of the knowledge of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And if you recognize that in the context of this, what could be in the natural, a great challenge to lay hold of this dimension of the reality of the love of God and be, as you said, grounded and rooted in him in such a way that the fruit in our lives is not natural or earthy or demonic. Well, there's a good word, because it assures us that God is able to create this work in us, even above all that we pray for or ask or think.
So we are first in a reception mode. You receive the wonderful love of God, the wonderful love of the Father manifested through his Son. Number two, the Lord Jesus, by taking all the evil upon himself, all the pain, all the hurt. That's Calvary. It is finished. He has taken all of it. Therefore, he has taken all the pressure at the cross. So you are able to see. I was thinking about some of these guys in the Super Bowl or the people competing in the Olympics. They're under pressure. Great pressure to have to do something to achieve that. Whereas Jesus became our champion, and he took all the pressure, so we are free to express the love of God. You get free today from all tensions. The other thing is, this is getting into the quantum physics thing, where it becomes way beyond any explanation, and there are so many realities. And it's in the glory, then. There is four dimensions of the love of God, that it comes beyond. We often see one-dimensionally the love of the Father, and we think in the glory realm. Say glory.
Glory.
So it's the supernatural realm. There is a height and the width and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God. So it's beyond comprehension. It goes beyond the three dimensions. It's the fourth dimension.
Yeah, exactly. And, Mahesh, when you were preparing to talk about this, I started thinking about that fourth dimension that physicists are just now starting to find evidence of it existing there spatially. And one of the attributes of it that is potentially related to what have been called black holes is that there is a gravitational pull that is at work there. And I think about the love of God, and the reality is we love him because he first loved us. And it was that, and continues to be that, on a daily basis. The gravitational pull of the Father through the sacrifice of Jesus, the ongoing outpouring of the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter and our teacher, our advocate, the one who comes and sits in the empty place and fills us not only with knowledge, but with power, and gives us that authority. But that gravitational pull that keeps us coming back to him to be refreshed and re-strengthened, to be renewed in our faith. And may the Lord help us. My mother was an amazing woman. She came to the Lord in her early 20s, just a couple of years before I was born. And she lived a very challenging life. We were ranchers, and we were land rich and cash poor, and we had to grow everything we ate and all of that. She was an amazing woman, and came from a line of pioneer women who were also well-read and educated. But she had a special Bible, and in her Bible, she had 1 Corinthians 13 underlined from the time that she was a young woman. And looking back on her life, I know because I saw her continually opening that Bible and referring to that, that she was drawing from the gravitational pull of the love of God in her life to be able to walk in. This was her gold, her medal that she was going for, was to be an expression of that love. And I can truly say that it was that in the midst of what our life and what the circumstances were for her as a young woman and going all the way through, where she got her roots and got the zzz to become a fruitful woman with a wonderful heritage, a wonderful legacy, was from the love of God, and particularly 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul talks about, you know, you can do all the religious things, you can have all the gifts, and you can be charismatic, you can be wealthy, you can be generous to the poor, you can be giving of yourselves. But he's saying, when you come to a place of maturity, of growing into sonship, you recognize that love is the thing. And without love, all those other things are just, I don't know, clanging cymbals, it says in one case. And then he says, pursue love. So just like the Olympic athletes or the guys who are going for the Super Bowl, they exercise, they discipline themselves, they train with their eye on the prize every single day. And I really appreciate you bringing up the fact that when it all comes down to it, in the Christian life, our pursuit is for love.
Amen. And as we are drawing, as you draw, you are drawing from the love of God. You are receiving. When you receive, say, I'm receiving.
I'm receiving.
So the Lord just says, receive. And we are continuously active. Mommies who have little kids, they have to keep on drawing. And do not stop drawing from the love of God. That often people have blocked it by not being around people or doing different things that have, the gear has, they either missed it or whatever, but they are no longer being refreshed by the supernatural love of God. One of the things that helps me, now, different people have different ways to do. For me, speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, yeah, is the way that I kind of, I get refreshed. Because, yeah, I mean, I've had people, we have had, in the prayer line, you were with me when I had more than 20,000 I laid hands on in the, yeah, Congo, and we still have fruit from all of that many years ago. But where did, I wouldn't get exhausted. I would get to my hotel, and most of, yeah, the time, I mean, I was charged. My eyes were open, and I mean, and you will, as you give out, you'll find as you're drawing from God's reservoirs, you will be more refreshed. So I would encourage you to draw more. And the more you come and have communion, the more you come and worship the Lord, the more you think you are giving, but in a sense, you are drawing from the love of God. Now, the gear is also, once you have that, then in a regular daily way, God, as you receive, then you give. So you are giving, and the fruit of it, one of the things that really I just loved it was a commercial of all things in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they used it to, you know, there were, it's Dodge Ram, but they had this last speech of last sermon of Dr. Martin Luther King. And can you play that? Would you be able to do that?
Yeah.
That was his last. Yeah. He's anointed. Yeah. And a few people kind of complained that we are using it for advertising. No, I thought, you know, that was one of the best
speeches.
It's
absolutely inspiring.
Yeah.
Everything about it, the anointing, is still there. And those words are so powerful. And he had a captive audience like never before.
Yeah. So. Entire Super Bowl, God, I mean, used his servant to speak.
Hallelujah.
To millions of people. God bless Dr. King. and the amazing gift he was. I mean, it makes me teary right now to think of this great servant of God and his words still are living. And they came, for me, you listen to his speeches and the glory is all around it.
Yeah.
And here he's talking about that, however, it says here, it was at Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Ebenezer.
How about that? That word stuck out to me. It's Ebenezer Baptist Church. And February 4th, 1968.
Wow.
How about
even
that?
It's this month. Wow.
And if you want to be important, wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant.
My God.
That's a new definition of greatness. By giving that definition of greatness, it means, these are the words of Dr. King, means that everybody can be great. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle to serve. You don't have to know the theory of relativity to serve. You don't have to know the second theory of thermodynamics in physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
See, it is drawing from the love you give out in servanthood, that we serve. And the more opportunity we have to serve, the more we can emanate and project the love of the Father. It's awesome. Praise God. And that's when I got filled with the Spirit, the Lord said, I'm going to direct you. And the first direction I got was filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, I started writing hymns. I had several hymns that I wrote that were used in several churches in West Texas. And I'm not music. I mean, can you imagine? Because the glory came, and it was the Holy Spirit. But at that time, the Lord said, I'm making you my ambassador of love. I said, yes. Anyway, then he told me, go there. And I went, and I was guided by the Holy Spirit immediately to go apply at a state school for the severely autistic children of that day. I mean, there were children the parents couldn't handle, so there were wards of the state. But that's, some were like, they would never get out of their cribs the rest of their lives. And the people who would clean them. And I remember the Lord would lead me to go there and serve them by just holding them and praying in tongues for hours on my off days or off hours. And I saw in that then, and serving all the other autistic, I didn't know that, I mean, I just felt the supernatural love of God flowing to these people. I mean, that little kids, that their parents were no longer there. And yet, the Lord said, you serve them. You wash their feet. And in fact, sometimes, some of the kids, I would have to bathe them myself and clean. They were not trained. They may be 20 years old, but they were not prodigy trained. And I had to take care of them. But in that, I felt such glory and such a presence of the love of God to these most helpless people. So I believe that this Valentine, we want to say, thank you, Lord. We accept your love. And we want to be released to serve your people, wherever they are. May I serve the church. May I serve in whatever way. And my reaction, I'm going to be whatever is fleshly, whether it's fear or anger or offense or something, I renounce that because I'm an ambassador of the Lord. And his love flows in his being. I am rooted and grounded by the love of God. And I know that I know the greatest truth. Jesus loves me. This I know. For what? The Bible tells me so. So, I want to conclude by us getting a fresh revelation of the love of the Father and the love of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit for you. And through that strength, then we can serve. Like Dr. King said so many years ago, and also at the Super Bowl. Amen. Michael, can you come up and help us? We will, and then you can help us sing whatever, but I would like for us to take a moment to sing. Why don't you all stand up? Tell your neighbor, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, Todd.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Amen. Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus loves you, Dave. Tell your neighbor, Jesus loves you. Now put your hand on your heart. I know that I know. Jesus loves me. All right. So we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
One more time.
Jesus loves me. This I know.
People and give them a fresh revelation. Tell them Jesus loves you. This is the greatest truth. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-7300 6264. God bless you.